You're listening to CLNS Media, powered by Boston Barber and Tattoo, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core, located at 113 Salem Street. You're listening to CLNS Media, powered by Boston Barber and Tattoo, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core, located at 113 Salem Street.
This is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
Damas y caballeros, hombres y mujeres, chicos y chicas, y bienvenidos al CLNS Media Boston Celtics Post Game Show, presentado por BetOnline.ag. Yo soy tu locutor, Nicolás Cicento, y estoy acompañado por mi co-host, el gran bigote, Sam Sheehan, y pronto analizaremos toda la acción del partido de hoy entre los Celtics de Boston y los Heat de Miami. In English, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the CLNS Show, sponsored by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag is more than just an online betting platform. We boast a focus on the player approach and have built our reputation on offering clients nothing but the best, from cutting-edge technology, enticing promotions, and the latest sports betting odds. Arguably, our most popular and well-known service, our famous sports book, is where a lot of the magic happens. Here you will find live lines for all major sporting events, including the NFL, MLB, NBA, like the game you just watched, NHL, soccer, tennis, rugby, and so much more. Maybe even croquet, badminton, who knows, handball, squash, high or high. You can bet on it all. Our live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites quickly and easily and in real time. Client input is extremely important for your valuable suggestions to us, to give you the best platform for all your sports betting, horse betting, poker, and casino gambling needs. This show, once again, sponsored by BetOnline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/win. Use promo code CLNS50 for 50% cash back on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag. And with that, the Boston Celtics coming into tonight's game versus the Miami Heat, with a record of 45-32, having lost five of their previous seven games, including an absolutely embarrassing loss to the Brooklyn Nets just a couple of nights ago. Clinging, the Boston Celtics clinging by their fingernails to the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference, edging out the Indiana Pacers for home court in the first round by way of a tiebreaker. Both the Pacers and the Celtics, unless the Pacers did something tonight that I don't know about, I'll check the scores once I bring in my man Sam Sheehan, tied for that fourth seed, Celtics winning out, edging them out by the tiebreaker. That's it. That's all that separates the Indiana Pacers and the Boston Celtics from the fourth and fifth seed and home court advantage. The Heat, on the other hand, bring the Dwayne Wade farewell tour into TD Garden, with a 38-38 record, fighting tooth and nail with their Florida neighbors to the north, the Orlando Magic, for the eighth and final seed in the East. The Boston Celtics, Sam, despite all their struggles and inconsistency this season, are excellent at home, going 28-10 at TD Garden, while the Heat are one of only four teams in the Eastern Conference with a winning record on the road, the other three teams being the Milwaukee Bucks, Toronto Raptors, and Philadelphia 76ers. So you have a great home team versus a very good road team, and something had to give. And what gave was the Miami Heat, who were dominated throughout the majority of this game. I would say 2.5 quarters of this game until they decided to make it competitive and ultimately fell short on free throws at the end of the game, 110 to 105. Got it close. But the game was, for the most part, especially in the first half, the Boston Celtics couldn't miss. The Boston Celtics were destroying the Miami Heat. It was a slaughter. But, of course, as the Boston Celtics often do, letting their opponents get back into it. Maybe it was a gift to Dwayne Wade. Maybe it was just the typical Boston Celtics. There was no Jaylen Brown tonight, a little bit shorthanded. So no idea what it was. The Boston Celtics, I believe, at one point had something like a 15, 17-point lead. The Miami Heat narrowed it down to a 9 or 11-point lead going into the fourth, got it down to 9 points, and then finally got it down within, you know, very close range before the Boston Celtics finally took them out. With that, let's see, I think it's about time to bring in my man, Sam Sheehan. Let's see. Sam, what did you think about this game? But before I get to you and before I ask you about this game, just a message to the Miami fans.
You got nothing on me. You know it. I know it. You want to waste my time? Okay. I call my lawyer. He's the best lawyer in Miami. He's such a good lawyer that by tomorrow morning, you're going to be working in Alaska. So dress warm.
So are the Miami Heat going to be dressing warm this playoff time, Sam? Or you think they'll squeeze into that A spot? And more importantly, Boston Celtics holding tight to that fourth seed, home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. What did you think about tonight's game?
Well, I'm glad you framed it as something's got to give game. Because I know what gave out, and it was my heart. About maybe sometime in that third quarter when I was thinking about how this was a game where the Celtics hit 17 three-pointers at home against a shorthanded Miami Heat team. That really probably shouldn't make the playoffs, and then, you know, an East that in the bottom half is quite frankly kind of weak. And boy, did the Boston Celtics do everything they could to lose this game. I don't think you're ever going to find a game where the Celtics were up 23 and it was a wire-to-wire victory that had more angst and drama in it than this one. I mean, it was a tough game. It was a tough game to watch, especially where the Celtics built such a, you know, a monstrous lead early on in this game, and then just to once again have it almost detonate around them in a night when everybody knew the Pacers result before the Celtics even played. So, you know, there's a chance the Celtics were going to drop back into the fifth seed. And, you know, like you brought up, Celtics are – very good home team. I think most Celtics fans have heard this by this point, but last year in the playoffs, 10-1 at home, 1-8 on the road. This is a team that needs home court advantage, even against a team like the Indiana Pacers. You want to, like, can't stress enough how bad the Celtics have been on the road this year and how bad they've been on the road in playoffs past. So, that is very important, and it was good for the Celtics to get the win today, but boy, is it not very encouraging. I guess Kyrie says they're going to turn it on in the playoffs, and that's what we're going to see. There's not quite been this year the rounding into shape that we saw with, for example, out of last year's Hospital Celtics, when they, you know, really kicked things into gear down the stretch.
Yeah, kicking it into gear down the stretch, flipping the switch. I'm kind of tired of that talk. I'm just waiting now at this point. I mean, if it weren't for the fact that the Boston Celtics were playing for, I mean, I agree with you. Any advantage the Boston Celtics can have going into the playoffs, and I was just informed by my man Joe Chiquette that the Pacers won the game. I won their game. I believe it was against the Detroit Pistons, 111-102. Mm-hmm. The Detroit Pistons also a playoff team. So the Indiana Pacers handling their side of business. And I think the Pacers are benefiting from a lot of the same just playing free and lack of expectations that the Boston Celtics had last season when Gordon Hayward went down and then Kyrie Irving went down. So the Indiana Pacers are basically playing with house money. This is kind of like found money. They're just doing their thing, no expectations. Nobody expects them to do anything in the playoffs. And if they are able to knock off the preseason crowned Eastern Conference champion Boston Celtics in the playoffs in the first round, that would be considered a major upset, regardless of how the Celtics have played throughout the season. Based on those expectations alone and based on the fact that the Indiana Pacers obviously playing without their all-NBA, all-star, whatever guard, Victor Oladipo, rising star, to say the least. I'm not sure if he's made an all-NBA team, but I'm sure that at some point, if his career continues on, he's able to recover fully. Victor Oladipo will be up there as an all-NBA player. But the NBA Pacers, the Indiana Pacers doing what they need to do in order to keep this competitive and force the Boston Celtics, who you'd like to see get rest for guys like Al Horford, like they did against the Nets before getting completely shitted on, and you'd like to see them be able to close this, you know, this season out with at least a game or two of rest without having to worry about seeding. Thankfully, after blowing that game to the Nets without, I believe it was minus Kyrie and minus Al Horford, the Indiana Pacers blew their game against the Orlando Magic and Mo Bamba with his own theme song. So, kind of staying level there. But this is going to be, I think, down the stretch, a situation where the Boston Celtics, as much as Kyrie wants games off, as much as Al Horford's going to need some games off, as much as Jaylen Brown maybe doesn't need games off, I'd like to see him play more minutes and maybe give some of the other guys games off. But as much as we'd like to see games off as fans, I don't think this is going to be a situation where the Boston Celtics can be as liberal as they'd like to be with the fellow players, because this is going to come down to the wire. And I believe that Indiana game is like the second to the last Indiana game of the season is like the second to last game or third to last game of the year. So that game is going to be extremely important. In my opinion, like the previous Indiana game that the Boston Celtics won just a few nights ago, that game to me is going to be a must win. But I think, Sam, that almost every game from here on out is going to be a must-win for the Celtics if the Pacers are going to continue to keep pace, because they both have about equal schedules, except the Indiana Pacers have more games at home, whereas the Celtics have more games on the road. So it's going to be tough for the Celtics, and I think having that fourth seed, while not the most important thing, and while not being critical, it's not going to make or break the series. It's something the Boston Celtics need, because they're looking at some really tough teams if they make it past the first round, and any advantage they can get early in the playoffs is going to help and pay dividends later on down the road, especially if they can dispatch of the Indiana Pacers quicker than a six or seven game protracted series. If they can dispatch of the Pacers in four or five games, which I don't think they will, but if the quicker they can, the better, and I think home court will go a long way in doing that, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of like what you're looking for the Celtics. If they're gonna, you need to have that home court. You need to, you know, sort of establish yourself. I guess just what's really bothering me is I thought that this would be the time when we would see Brad Stevens sort of show us something with these lineups. You know, I think Brad Stevens has been. This season has really been a honeymoon-over kind of season for Brad Stevens. Celtics have gotten better every year under Brad Stevens, and this was the first really kind of disappointing season that we've seen from him. And, you know, you don't want to criticize someone just because this is the first year that things have gone badly, but I really do believe that a giant majority of the team's struggles have to lay pretty firmly at the feet of Brad Stevens. I mean, there's obviously other problems. You know, there's other parts of this. Marcus Morris has come all the way back down from where he was at the beginning of the year to actually be the second biggest net negative on the team behind Terry Rozier, which is pretty astounding considering how far up there he was and how far he had to fall to get that low. So, like, both Marcus Morris and Terry Rozier are having a tough time, and to be perfectly frank, should probably be out of the rotation at this point because the Celtics have a problem of having too many guys, and they need to start figuring out who their eight guys are, because you're not going to be able to play this 9, 10, 11, 12-man rotations like in the playoffs. You're not going to meet Daniel Tice, hopefully, but yeah, heaven forbid. You probably shouldn't need to only give 20 minutes to Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward and everybody else. You know, I think there needs to be a tough decision made when it comes to the playoffs. And right now, Brad Stevens, I'm concerned about that. I'm not sure when the chips are down and it's winning time if Brad Stevens is going to have the, the cojones to look down at the end of the bench and tell two guys.
The cojones, man.
Contractor. Yeah.
In honor of Miami. I know we played in Boston,
yeah,
but the Boston Celtics played in at TD Garden. But I'm not hosting the next Miami game in Miami, so I brought all the Espanglers, man, and the Scarface quotes and all the salsa music specifically for tonight. But you're right. Keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt. The cojones. We were talking about cojones.
I'm quite frankly a little concerned that Brad Stevens is not going to have. I went from trusting Brad completely, last year to it's going to be fine, it's going to be fine, I'm going to write out the ups and the downs. But I'm starting to get a little panicked here by the fact that he really can't, for whatever reason, it really just seems to not understand the lineups that are going to play in the playoffs have to start playing together, like now. They need to start playing together now. They can't just come together. You can't have these. I was going through some of the Celtics rotations that we're going to see a lot of in the playoffs. Did you know that before the Pacers game, they played for a starting lineup of that they had that game that we're probably going to see in the playoffs, a starting lineup of Dane, Horford, Tatum, Irving, and Smart. That lineup had played 50 possessions before the Pacers game. Let's see, seven games ago at the end of the year. This is the kind of stuff that you can't do, and this is what happens if you have a team where you're playing too many guys and it takes you too long to figure out who your guys are. And I guess that's kind of what, it's not so much about the actual results. I'm not really panicked as much as I opened up my segment with a little whining about the Heat going on a run. That's not really what I'm concerned about. Who cares? It's March. Everybody's just kind of sleeping with the finish line at this point. But there is the process is not there. You always look for kind of the batteries preaches process over results, and I'm not seeing the process, to be perfectly frank.
Well, if you want to see a process, I think you're going to have to head a few miles south and go down to Miami if that's the process you're looking for. Or maybe look up Al Sharpton's hair. There's a process there as well. All kinds of processes, but none in Boston, and there shouldn't be, because this is, 2 years into Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving being with the team. This is what, Brad Stevens, how many years has he been with Boston? This is fourth year? How much more of a process do you need when the Boston Celtics have so much loaded talent, and yet they're still tinkering with lineups this late in the season, playing with lineups this late in the season. Although I do think, as you mentioned, removing Marcus Morris from the starting lineup was absolutely necessary. And I think sticking Aaron Baines in his place to play alongside Al Horford, I think you get better production, more efficient production from Al Horford when he plays alongside a big, when he's at that power forward spot that he prefers to play in. And I think we saw that tonight. Al Horford, we're completely burying the lead on a lot of these things. We haven't talked any stats, but Al Horford with the triple-double tonight, 19 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. That's fantastic. That's not average Al. That's, playoff Al. That's the Al we all want to see. And I'm not sure you necessarily get that without the beef and the muscle and the big D in the locker room that Aaron Baines provides you in the paint. So, and if you look at the stats, and I went over these stats, I think, on a previous show, that if you look at the defensive rating of the Boston Celtics with Aaron Baines and without, it's like night and day. It's literally the defensive rating without Aaron Baines is like 106 or 107 points. The defensive rating with Aaron Baines is like 97 points. And I think those are determined by per 100 possessions or something like that. And the win-loss record, and this was a few games ago, so it was different, 15-2 when Aaron Baines plays more than 15 minutes, and 22-21 when he plays 14 or fewer. So the proof is in the pudding as far as I'm concerned that Aaron Baines has earned a spot in that starting lineup, and that Marcus Morris, if nothing else, it's addition by subtraction, removing him from the starting lineup. I think what we saw, just to end this discussion about those players, I'll run down some stats, and I see both Joe Chiquette and the boss, Bobby Manning, on the call lines, Marcus Morris was inserted into the starting lineup, and he had that moment where it kind of worked for the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics went on a run earlier in the season. Marcus Smart contributed to that as well. And I think that Coach Stevens was slightly hesitant to remove Marcus Morris from the starting lineup because Marcus Morris, as I've heard, or as is rumored, that Marcus Morris and Kyrie Irving are friends off court. And I think that maybe they stuck with Marcus Morris a little bit longer than they would have in this two-season-long attempt to placate and satiate and not vacate Kyrie Irving from this roster, to basically make him happy. And it's one of the most difficult things, I think, and what's made this season one of the least enjoyable to watch. It's kind of like this thought in the back of our minds is, you know, is Kyrie going to stay? What's he going to do? What do we have to do to make him happy? And I think all the things that fans have done, that the team has done, all those things together that have been done in order to make Kyrie Irving happy have made the rest of Celtics Nation kind of a little bit not so happy. But I'm not going to make this all about Kyrie Irving. The Boston Celtics won. As I mentioned, Al Horford, triple-double, 19 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. Great game from Kyrie Irving, as usual. He always puts up fantastic stats, 25 points, 8 rebounds. It's nice to see him rebounding like that. 3 assists, 2 steals, 6 turnovers. That's not a good ratio. 6 turnovers to 3 assists. Those are Marcus Smart numbers, but Marcus Smart isn't playing that way anymore. 16 points from Marcus, by the way. Fantastic game for him. And Jason Tatum, 19 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists and a steal. And all of those starters, with the exception of Baines and Smart, played over 30 minutes, and both Baines and Smart played within 5 minutes of getting that 30-minute mark. Not much from the bench. You mentioned Terry Rozier, who had been averaging, I believe, 2 points over the previous, like, 3 or 4 games and shooting 25% from the field. Just absolutely atrocious. And the 5 points off the bench tonight, not something that gives Celtics fans confidence if anything were to happen with Kyrie Irving, or any confidence if Kyrie Irving were to possibly leave in the offseason. And we're not going to talk about that at this moment, maybe later on at the end of the show. 11 points for Gordon Hayward off the bench, 8 points for Marcus Morris. And there are your stats. Anything else you'd like to mention about this game, about the stats, about whatever, before we bring in one of the two CLNS personalities waiting patiently on the line on the betonline.ag call lines? 347-215-7711 is the number they dialed. Anything before we bring in the man right here?
I'm going to turn it over because I'll just go off on another angry tangent about bad series. I'll say something I don't mean. So we'll bring him in.
Everybody has somebody to blame, I found, this season. There's always somebody to blame this season. A lot of people are you know, and rightfully so in many cases, and I've been one of his biggest fans, are really taking a poop on Terry Rozier. In your case, I think, and rightfully so, there's a lot that Brad Stevens could be doing better, a lot that Brad Stevens hasn't done well this season. Kyrie Irving, a lot of people are taking it out. And then you have the Kyrie Irving. Every time the team wins a game again, you know, without Kyrie Irving, oh, they can win without Kyrie Irving. And then Kyrie Irving and Al Horford are out. They get blown out by the Nets. And it's, you know, Celtics Twitter, Celtics IG, Celtics Facebook is all, oh, you said we could win without Kyrie. What happened? Where's Terry Rozier now? And it's like, you know, fans are going at each other basically over Kyrie Irving. So you have all these elements that are kind of contributing to the unhappiness with the Boston Celtics. And it's sad that we're talking about this already in the first segment of this program after a win, and a fairly dominant win despite, you know, what the final score shows. The Celtics took their foot off the gas, took their feet off the necks of the Miami Heat, and did exactly what they've been doing all season long. But if they can win in the playoffs, and the games are going to be tight in the playoffs, if they can win those close games, and they don't always win those close games. Now, frequently they lose them. But if they can pull them out the way they pulled it out tonight, the way they use their grit and balls, as Kevin Garnett would say, to pull this game out, they'll do something in the playoffs. But I think that expectation that they're going to the finals and it's basically going to be a cakewalk, that's not happening. It's going to be rough sailing, I believe, all the way through. If they even make it to the finals, it's going to be a rough sailing all the way through the Eastern Conference. Eastern Conference got a lot tougher than it looked before the season started.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that. Let's see the ambitions. I don't know. I just want to play the Sixers and beat them, because that's the one thing I am confident about, is the Celtics can destroy the Sixers in five games again, no matter how bad they are. So I might be worried about the Pacers series, but I'm still extremely confident about the Sixers series. It's too bad the Celtics couldn't fall to the 16th. They could have got a higher draft pick and swept to their opening round game and got plenty of rest. That would have been the ideal situation. All right, that's enough Sixers slander out of me.
There you go. Let's see. Who should we go with? Let's go with – I know that Joe Chiquette. Joe, we see you. You've been waiting. But when the boss is on the line, you put the boss on the line. So with that, I'm going to bring in my man, Bobby Manning. Bobby, did we –
I found
the cockroach.
Yeah.
Nicholas.
What's up, Bobby?
I got some Espanol for you again.
Did you hear my intro? I did that just for – no, I did it for Miami. But, I mean, hopefully you heard it. You can get some Google Translate out of it.
El Hit Tuvo Miedo. Esa la noche. What the hell are they doing in the zone? Oh, my God. The zone. Again, you're seeing in the NBA this year, and it's really perplexing me. And you think I'd be a zone guy in the NBA, going to Syracuse and all, watching the zone too much. But, you know, I see enough of it here.
Right.
I don't need to see it once the Syracuse season ends. And, you know, the NBA TV guys caught it right away. They're like, all right, you're going to run a zone against Al Horford, who's probably the best guy to run the high post against the zone in the NBA. And it was just methodical the way they were going after it. I think they were 47% from three at one point. I mean, the Heat, besides Kelly Olynyk thrown into the fourth row in the clutch and guarding Irving on the biggest possession of the game, they handed the Celtics such a big gift tonight running that zone for, I want to say, half the game they were running it. And it was just easy basket after easy basket for those Celtics. But it also goes to show this Celtics team is at their best when that ball is flying all over the court. And, you know, I love what Irving has done this year, but sometimes that ball gets stuck in his hands for a little too long. When the team's forced to get it from side to side, inside and out, through Horford, moving the ball like they can, this Celtics team can meet their potential. And tonight was just a great example of that when they had to against the zone.
It's so hard for me.
I've been a big Eric Spoelstra fan, but this year's got to be a knock on him. I mean, that team has talent, and they're just like hanging on by a thread to the playoffs.
Who's the talent on the team, though? I don't know. I disagree.
It's enough to be an East playoff team at the very least.
I guess that's
sure.
But I don't know. I mean, the East has the Magic are. I don't know. Besides maybe the Hornets, I think every other team that is in the mix there, I think, has more talent. The Magic are actually a really talented team, but they just are young and cursed. And the Nets have a lot of talent too. I don't know. I think Spoelstra's done a good job, and I think that the decay of the Miami Heat has sort of gone under the radar because of the good job Eric Spoelstra's done. They've paid a lot of guys 8-figure contracts that don't really need them. Kelly Olynyk, God bless his heart.
I don't think a lot of fans are missing him.
God bless his heart. I'm glad he secured the bag, but I guess is all I got to say about that one.
The bounce is real.
You don't remember that dunk, the bounce is real.
It is nice to see that footwork on the other side now, because we had a three far too often on this side. And the threes. Oh, my God. How many threes did he brick in this game?
Yeah, well, the good news, hey, I mean, say what you will about Kelly Olynyk, but no, there are very few people who have, well, in the NBA, who have ruined the franchise single-handedly. And Kelly Olynyk single-handedly ruined the Washington Wizards. Like, they were on cover for 5 years. So... that, you know, we'll always have that. He did destroy the John Wall Wizards, and we'll always be grateful to him for that in some ways.
And I wanted your thoughts, too, on Dwayne Wade tonight, because as I saw, you know, John Duke especially was mad that the fans were applauding him when he touched the ball tonight. And, man, that guy is still such a killer. 17 points, going inside, throwing up those lobs. I mean, he almost led the comeback himself again tonight in his last game in Boston. And I think he could probably another 2 to 3 years the way he looks off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, I would have preferred – I kind of lean Duke. I would have rather this was a good riddance chant at some point. I was shocked. Did you guys hear that chat that – Tommy, or I think it was Mike actually, Mike brought up on the guest tonight that they, that Dwayne Wade is something insane. He's like 8-30 something, or maybe even lower than that. He's including the playoffs in Boston, like he's lost a lot against the Celtics. I would have never guessed that based on how contentious those Miami Heat games were. I don't know. It's interesting that Dwayne actually wasn't that successful in Boston outside of the scope of LeBron, yet he's sort of more of a villain than LeBron, I would say. You know, like LeBron is obviously more successful, but I think Celtics fans, by and large, dislike Dwayne Wade more than LeBron James. Is that fair?
Wait, what? What? Are we serious about
that? It all goes back to how Rondo played, doesn't it? I think that's just like the singular moment people look at.
I can't buy that one. That's a hot take to me.
Yeah, okay. If I just generate bids, when Dwayne Wade slaps Rondo in the face at the end of game two, the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals at game two, it was Rondo's first one game, and Dwayne Wade got away with pretty much clotheslining him at one end, and there was kind of no call that ended up deciding the game in a series that went to seven. So I don't know. Like that, things like that I will always remember, and then him pulling down Rondo and dislocating his elbow.
That's the one I was talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. So, I'm glad Dwayne Wade got to do this. I'm glad, Miami Heat fans got to have their guy back. My personal take, good riddance. goodbye, Dwayne.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to take a poll on that. I'd like to get online and actually ask Celtics fans who they dislike more, LeBron James or Dwayne Wade. I don't think the Dwayne Wade Heat were that big of a problem. I mean, the Celtics weren't really contending when the Dwayne Wade Heat were winning with semi past prime Shaq, with a diminished Shaq, back in the early 2000s. The Boston Celtics weren't doing anything. They were a completely garbage team at that point. I just think there's a bigger rivalry that extended beyond those Miami Heat games at LeBron James. LeBron was there for those Miami Heat games, and then LeBron went to the Cavaliers, and then who became the Boston Celtics menace after LeBron went to the Cavaliers? It was the Cavaliers. They didn't care what Dwayne Wade was doing after that. So I think if you were to look at the whole spectrum of their careers, in my opinion, LeBron James has to be the most hated, especially the fact that he's wearing a purple jersey right now. Have we forgotten that, the Boston Celtics have an actual rival? And I'm not talking about the Philadelphia 76ers and lame Joel Embiid. I'm talking about the Los Angeles Lakers. They're one championship away from tying the Boston Celtics. Well, I should say they're six championships in L.A., away from tying the Boston Celtics. We can count those other five championships in Minneapolis, because all of the Celtics championships are won in Boston. Boston fans don't celebrate championships from other teams or from other cities or from other places. It's not like the Lakers where you have Minneapolis. I mean, where is the lake in L.A. anyway? I mean, they're like constant drought. So I don't know what it has to do with anything, but I would give it to LeBron. That's me.
It's like saying that you're talking both names are oxymoronic, so.
Absolutely. Well, the Jazz should vacate their name and give it to New Orleans. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Yeah. It should have been vacated already.
They actually don't allow music.
Who are the Hornets? I'll say this. It was very easy for Celtics fans to get up and cheer for Wade tonight. You know, Dirk got his applause. Still strange seeing Kobe get the applause he did with how contentious that rivalry was. The day LeBron finally hangs it up and plays his last game here, it'll be really, really weird seeing the Garden give him a standing ovation, because there has been no affection between those two sides over the years.
At the very least, the Garden had better give Evan Turner the same standing ovation they give LeBron James.
Oh yeah, that's my man, E.T.
Yeah. We got to.
He needs a video. He needs like a half hour long video. Like the whole halftime should be an Evan Turner show.
Yeah, exactly. So, I agree.
They should hand out shirts. You know how they did the shirts for what was the name of the dude that worked for TNT that passed away? And his name is slipping. He did always wear the crazy suit.
Craig Sager.
Yeah, Craig Sager. They should make T-shirts that look like Evan Turner's Coogee sweater. Remember that sweater that he wore that one time with the funky glasses? They should make shirts with that same print and lay them over every single seat. So when Evan Turner has his last game in the Garden, everybody gets a quasi Coogee shirt or something like that. Definitely, E.T. deserves a hero's welcome and a hero's farewell. Kobe, no. LeBron, no. Dwayne Wade, definitely not. Dirk Nowitzki, whatever. But I think I just want to add one last thing about this, about players retiring and getting applause or standing ovations at TD Garden. And I know some of you have read the story that, of course, the media made, you know, massive amounts of noise about the fan that got suspended from the Garden for 2 years for saying ignorant shit to DeMarcus Cousins. But I think that these type of things, when you see fans of the Garden having enough respect for the game of basketball that they'll even cheer for a guy that dislocated Rajon Rondo's elbow, that they'll probably give a standing ovation to the guy that basically broke Gordon Hayward's ankle off by undercutting him on a lob, and cheered Kobe Bryant, who stole a championship from them in 2010. The Boston Celtics, Boston Celtics fans are some of the most intelligent basketball fans in all of basketballdom and all of sports, and they respect the game, and that's why you get that. I personally wouldn't cheer for them. I'd boo them the entire time, every single time they touch the ball, even on their last visit to the Garden. But I can see maybe a little bit why some of those fans, because they're regardless of what the media, how they like to portray Boston fans, they're classier than I think a lot of fans give credit to them for, and a lot of fans in other cities. We're not Indiana Pacers fans. You want to hear about some racist crap that's been said in sports stadiums? Go back to old Conseco Fieldhouse in Indiana. The players used to talk all the time about the crap that they would hear from fans there. But of course, that social media didn't exist back when Conseco Fieldhouse was the playing spot for the Indiana Pacers, so you didn't hear about all that stuff. But for some reason, despite Boston sports breaking so many color barriers, the media never wastes an opportunity to take a dump on the Boston Celtics, on whatever team, the Patriots, because they have too many white receivers, whoever it is, based on racial things. But I think that was one ignorant fan out of a lot of very well-informed fans that respect the game. And I think that's the one thing we can take away, whether we agree or disagree with cheering for opposing rivals. I think that's one thing we can take away from that phenomenon, is that Boston Celtics fans are classy for the most part, minus the few boneheads that every single fan base has. They're classy and they understand the game of basketball.
Yep. No. And the only way to prove this, I think, is to retire the Turner's jersey. Let's take it from Kyrie and retire it, the number 11. I'm just saying. I'm going to throw it out there. You know, if Kyrie leaves, they have to retire the 11 jersey for Evan Turner.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
All right, guys. Good chatting with you. I'll let Joe get on the line. And these last two wins, the Pacers won tonight, making me feel a little bit better. I'm not back on the boat yet, but I like the way the team's played of late.
Bobby, can I have – send me a DM after and tell me what you've got, and I want some of it. I do not feel good. I do not feel good right now about after that Heat game. But maybe everyone will talk me off the ledge. Who knows? When did I turn into the – I turned into the grump. I don't know. Too many losses. She and Curse, it's too many losses on these phones.
You need some happy pills, Sheehan. You know, I actually just read an article. I've been reading several articles that psilocybin mushrooms actually can treat depression and other emotional and psychiatric conditions. So maybe some magic mushrooms will make you a little bit – because maybe you have to be tripping balls to see how good this Boston Celtics team, because when you're sober, man, it's painful. But –
That's normally the way
I look at the games. I medicate myself before the game just to make sure. A few Xanax, you know, a couple of Oxycontins, and I'm just laying on the bed halfway comatose watching the game hoping something terrible doesn't happen.
You know what I do? I do it to sort of get close to Brad Stevens because he's definitely got some, he's having some help to get through these games.
He's tripping balls. That's where his rotations are coming from. He said, forget the magic mushrooms. He went straight to like peyote and ayahuasca. He's just tripping balls all over these rotations. He's like, I'm gonna stick Brad Wanamaker in the starting lineup for the last game of the season against the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
No.
But I think Brad Stevens has calm and collected on the sidelines.
He decided Greg Monroe needed to have some run because he was on a vision quest with the ayahuasca mind sherpa. this is what was foretold in the scrolls. Oh man!
Absolutely.
Maybe we should probably get back to the call.
Definitely. Joe has been waiting for quite a while. But you know what? With his mescaline ayahuasca trips, maybe Brad Stevens' spirit animal is a moose. And that's why he went after Greg Monroe. He had his little trip in the jungle, and a glowing, technicolor moose came by and, you know, started licking his face. And he fondled the tusks or the horns or whatever the things are called that moose have on their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Horns, I guess, is what they are. Started
the antlers,
fondling
the
horns and playfully frolicking in the fields with the moose. And all of a sudden, Greg Monroe appears on the roster. Doesn't get any playing time because maybe Brad Stevens doesn't value his spirit animal. But, you know, you never know. With that, just like to remind everybody that this is a live, toll-free call-in show sponsored by betonline.ag. You can dial 347-215-7771, as my man Joe Chiquette did, to join the conversation here. Joe, I have if this would work, I'll press the button and get Joe on the air. Joe, I have one question
for
you.
Who put this thing together? Me! That's who! Who do I trust? Me!
What's up, Joe?
Buenos noches, mis amigos.
This is the Miami version of the show, man. You got something to say about Miami? You're talking about the Heat?
Listen, Nick, I was thinking, and Sam, how you doing? I was thinking to myself while I was listening. I'm like, usually it's a pain in the balls to have to follow Bobby Manning. But then you gave me ayahuasca and drug talk. And I thought to myself, you know what? That bar's low. I can hip hop right over that thing quick. What's happening, my boys?
Joe's probably tripping right now.
We're changing perception. We're changing perception.
Dude, that's
how
we roll.
This whole show is like a contact trip. We're all like kind of like vibing off of each other. I think Sam Sheehan's mustache is my spirit animal.
Oh, Nick,
Woo!
I have bad
Yeah, well,
news
you know what?
That,
you know what
way.
My spirit animal is? I'll tell you this real quick. My spirit animal would be a moose. But to Sam's point, Nick, you rolled over it. You missed it. I know you're from New Bedford. There are not a lot of moose down there. But up here where I live in New Hampshire, all of our moose have antlers. They don't have horns.
It's antlers. That was the, you know what? Yeah. Well, I'm in Florida now, so I don't know if there's anything with antlers. I think there's some deer or something. I don't know. I don't spend that much time. You know, I do the stingray shuffle now. If I go in the wildlife, it's usually trying to avoid, you know, sharks and stingrays and other types of aquatic animals. And I've found that aquatic adventures don't really mix well with ayahuasca. It tends to, you know, you can't really frolic with a great white shark, you know, or a tiger shark on the shores of the Gulf of Mexico. But, you know, I don't know. Whatever. I'm still rolling with Damshian's mustache as my spirit animal.
I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that you guys have brought a fun show tonight. And more importantly, I knew that one or both of you were high as a kite when there was a 5-minute segment on Kelly Olynyk. I applaud you for it, but man, someone's high.
We gotta respect the bounce. As Nick says, the bounce is real. So, you know, this is a man who ate a burrito in 3 bites on the plane. Maybe that was what changed things the season on the plane. That's what happened on the plane ride. They brought Kelly Olynyk to ride along, and they burritos in 2 bites.
Unreal. Well, I'll tell you guys, in watching the game tonight, you know, the game is the game. What I think we're seeing down the stretch here is Brad, as you could see from tonight, you've seen in the previous two or three, starting to mix things up. The bench is shortening up, even though he's playing a bunch of people and everybody's getting a little bit of time. Your 8-man rotation is real simple. It's Al Horford, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Aaron Baines, Kyrie Irving, Marcus Smart, Gordon Hayward. And then it comes down to the toss-up question for the 8th spot. Do you put in Morris or do you put in Rozier? If I had a vote in that huddle,
neither.
Morris is my number 8 player. Well, you have to pick one of the two. You're going to put Greg Monroe in there? I don't think so.
No.
So you have to pick.
Yeah. Semi Ojeleye. Let's get it.
Yeah, I was going to say. Hey, listen, but let me say this, though. Just like we had, and I predicted it, and I actually went back to the show, downloaded the show, edited the audio, and replayed myself predicting it, that Semi Ojeleye would have an impact on the Bucks series last season. And I was absolutely correct. So I think while you may have your 8-man lineup and it might come down to who's the 8th man or who's the, you know, the guy that's at the end of the rotation that's going to get some play, whether it's Marcus Morris or it's Terry Rozier, I think you're going to have games where you have a Terry Rozier game, or where you have a Daniel Tice game, or where you have a Marcus Morris game. I guarantee you there will be a Marcus Morris game at some point in this playoffs if the Celtics make it out of the first round, or if the first round is a prolonged series. You're going to have some of those role players that may not be part of the 8-man rotation that have a game, like Semi Ojeleye had that defensive game against, or a couple of those guys are going to have games. Terry Rozier is going to have a game. He's not going to be playing this bad, you know, in the playoffs. He may play... If in a 7-game series, he may have 5 bad games, 1 average game, but he's going to have 1 good game. And I think you can say that about a lot of those guys, Tice and Morris as well.
And I don't doubt any – Nick, I don't doubt any of that. What I'm asking you is, who is the lead dog in that 8 spot right now? So if you're going to give me Semi, Terry, and Marcus, you don't have a lead dog out of that pack?
Marcus Morris, just because of his relationship with Kyrie Irving, if that's true.
Yes. That to me is the natural fit. He's your lead 8. And then to your point, if it's a Semi night, then Marcus has taken the bench and Semi's playing and he's having himself a game. Same thing with Terry. Same thing with Tice. I just don't see Tice having one of those impact games. But he might. You know, I might be wrong. I don't think Yabu sees the light of day. I don't even think he's dressing.
No.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Robert Williams got some weird peekaboo minutes to throw things off, particularly in the Bucks series if people get into foul trouble, because I think something we've learned, you know, Nick pointed it out, you know, Semi did a great job against Giannis, but you need to be able to throw bodies at him, and Giannis is going to get hers on Giannis, and it's worked out better than trying to match up with wings and getting your wings into, you know, foul trouble. So
you
wouldn't be surprised to see.
Can't.
Exactly, you know. So
you can't put Jason Tatum on Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's going to get 8. He's not big or strong enough. And Giannis is just as fast, if not faster, and just as long, if not longer. You can't do that. I mean, that's why Shimmy worked.
Right.
Yeah.
A Giannis game is going to require, to your point, Sam, a lot of bodies. So you're going to roll out with Baines.
Yeah.
Then that's going to be the night, to your point, Nick, which is situational. That's a Semi and a Tice night that's rotating in. You know what I mean? And maybe Morris and Rozier are playing less of a role in that particular series because, to your point, Sam and Nick, you got to throw a lot of bodies at this guy, and they got to be bigger bodies. that have to try to post up on him because, to your point, Sam, he's going to get the foul totals. You just want to spread it out as far out as you can across as many people as you can to keep everybody eligible down the end of the game stretch.
Yeah. And I think that,
it really seems like
we're going to see, it would be Bucks in round two, if the Celtics, got things together looking more and more like that. The Celtics will not get their juicy Sixers matchup that I wanted so badly. And I'm not sure, I'm still not really sure where the Celtics match up against the Bucks. There was a Jason Kidd abbreviated season last year, and the Celtics, the home team of those games last year. Now the Celtics have Kyrie Irving now. They have Gordon Hayward and hypothetically should be a better team. That said, I don't know. The Bucks have been pretty handily the best team in basketball during the regular season. I think that that's not that much of a stretch to say that. So it's going to be an awful tough challenge for the Celtics. And while they do have the wings to kind of throw at this matchup, Giannis is probably, it's either him or Harden is the MVP of the league. And that's going to be a tough one. I think Celtics fans might be looking past how heavy of an underdog the Celtics would be in a round two matchup where they have to go to Milwaukee and sneak at least a game, from Giannis and, a team that's kind of been a point differential juggernaut. Like they're putting up a point differential that is akin to, what the heyday Warriors did back when they cared about like the regular season. So that's one that I'm definitely sort of worried about. And I know it's a little disrespectful to look past the Pacers, especially with how well they've played against the Celtics this season. But, that just kind of seems like the natural place to, kind of have
Sam and Joe,
fit.
I have a question for both of you guys. In a hypothetical situation, if the Boston Celtics could choose when to play the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round or the second round, obviously that's not going to happen. But given the injury to Malcolm Brogdon, I believe Nikola Mirotic, doesn't he play for the Bucks? And I believe he hurt himself as well. Pau Gasol, their last man on the bench, he got hurt as well. Would you rather play the Bucks now or when the playoffs start, or would you rather wait until the second round and get maybe a healthier Malcolm Brogdon and a healthier Milwaukee Bucks lineup?
Well, you, Sam.
Boy, it's me.
Everybody's taking their happy pills right now. Their mouth is full. They can't answer the question.
Yeah, boy. I was just saying. I'm trying. So walk me through it one more time. It's the Celtics.
I'll make it simpler. Do you think that the injuries to the Bucks that happened late in the season, like the Malcolm Brogdon injury that was 6 to 8 weeks estimated, I think Nikola Mirotic is with the Bucks, if I'm not thinking of somebody else, got injured.
No,
Pau Gasol
right.
got injured. So do you think that that's going to have any impact on the potential matchup?
It really kind of starts and ends with Giannis, and then to a lesser extent, Chris Middleton. Sterling Brown was dropping numbers on our head last, season. That's just kind of what Giannis does. He sort of warps everything. I mean, that's what all great players do, to the point where it almost, Nikola Mirotic is a real player. And Malcolm Brogdon has kind of very quietly been something of a Celtics killer. So, it obviously would help the Celtics a little bit, I think, if those guys weren't healthy. But they were, it was a while ago. And I think the two requisite weeks, that big of a difference. I guess it would probably be. If you want to make it like, would you rather play the Bucks or the Raptors in the second round? I guess that's a little bit of an argument, particularly given how Toronto has been resting, Kawhi on every back to back. I think that what it boils down to is this, which is something I was thinking about and talking about some other fans with. And this is going to come off as disrespectful and Kyrie slander, and it's not. But Celtics probably have the weakest number one of those four teams at the top of the East. And that's not really Kyrie slander. There's a lot of good players on those teams. I think the Sixers is the closest, but a lot of people seem to like Joel Embiid. I only watch the Sixers when they play the Celtics, so Joel Embiid doesn't impress me that much. He needed 27 free throws or whatever. He was given to have a big game against Al Horford, who repeatedly truck sticks him every time they play it. But you know, in the playoffs, we see a lot of times, you know, the best player is the usually wins in the series, and that is a weakness of the Celtics squad that's going to continue into the playoffs. So I guess I don't really know what to make of that, and I'm a little nervous.
All right,
Joe,
I'll do mine. You basically asked two questions, so I'm going to answer them both, and then I'm going to give an explanation for each. The answer is early, and hell yeah. So the first one is, would I rather face the Bucks early in the playoffs or later in the playoffs with the injuries that I am aware of? Well, then, yes, I want the weakened team. At all times, as early as possible, give me your team as broken as you can for my team as healthy as it can be. I want that matchup every single time. Do I think that these guys are all impact players? No, but they all, to Sam's point, have had instances in which Giannis kind of facilitates out and these guys become game killers during, individual games. So, yeah, that's kind of how I answer both of those questions. I hate to do this to you guys, but I am going to jet. I do have one last thing. I noticed when you were on with Bobby, you were asking, maybe you should put a poll up there about who was hated most. Was it Wade or was it LeBron? I want my vote. My vote is
yes, Joe.
LeBron.
Joe.
Yes.
Well, no. That's what I'm saying. I want to hear it. I want you to make the right choice here.
Oh, yeah. LeBron, most hated of this era, hands down, no questions asked. I'll write you a personal check if you disagree with me. But my Flamin' Hot Cheeto take, Nick, because I know you like to do these. My personal most hated, and we all know that on this call, I am the senior citizen. My most hated NBA player of all time against the Boston Celtics is not the gimme up that you think it's going to be. It is not Mr. Irving Magic Johnson. It was actually the doctor. Dr. J was literally my most hated opponent against the Boston Celtics.
Dr. J.
Well,
that's all
what,
I got,
Joe?
Gentlemen.
Well, you know what, Joe? Just before you go, one little thing.
Why don't you try sticking your head up your ass? See if you fit.
Thanks, Joe.
Scarface sound for it is incredible.
I love it, guys. Take care.
Have a good one, Joe. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah,
Joe Chiquette, ladies and gentlemen, one of CLNS Media's most fantastic, finest, most insightful analysts. Sam, I think what I'm going to do now is run this commercial that I should have ran a long time ago, although I did a read that nobody told me to do, so I think I should get some credit for that one. And then we'll come back and finish up the show. I know we've kind of been all over the place here, but maybe we can take a look at the remaining four games on the schedule, get a little bit of, what we think is going to happen in those games, and then just close this game out, post-game show out after this break. How does that sound?
It sounds like a plan to me.
Awesome. All right, run this break.
What I said, sir, this country, you got to make the money first. Then when you get the money, you get the power. Then when you get the power, then you get the woman.
Today's episode is powered by BetOnline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/win and use the promo code CLNS50 to receive 50% cash back on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/win and use the promo code CLNS50 to receive 50% cash back on your first deposit.
When it's time to make a hire for your small business, of course you want to find the best person for that job. Well, the odds are that person is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to get matched with quality candidates who make the most sense for your role. People come to LinkedIn every day to learn and advance their careers, so LinkedIn understands what they're interested in and what they're looking for, which means when you use LinkedIn Jobs to hire someone, your matches are based on so much more than a resume. LinkedIn goes further. They include skills and background, interests, activities, and passions. This way, you'll get the most relevant and qualified candidate early on in the process, and you can spend more time on candidates you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in developing quality hires. So listen up. Post a job today at linkedin.com/garden and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/garden. Terms and conditions apply.
This is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
Hey!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the BetOnline.ag Boston Celtics post-game show. I am your host, Nick Sesento, joined by the mighty mustache, Sam Sheehan. This is the Miami edition, even though they played at TD Garden, final game of Dwayne Wade's career in Boston, hosting the Miami Heat, winning 110 to 105 in a game that was entirely under control for the first two and a half, if not three quarters of the game, until the Miami Heat decided to make a comeback with a 30-point performance by Goran Dragic and a 19-point, 14-rebound performance from Bam Adebayo, nice young player. And, of course, the bounce is still real down in Miami, 14 points and 6 rebounds from that man, Kelly Olynyk, who started his career in green but decided to bail on us just like Ray Allen did and went down to Miami. So Sam, let's see, I'm taking a look at the Boston Celtics schedule here, and if I'm not mistaken, there should be, what, four games left after tonight. So there's the second game of this home and away against Miami, which comes on Wednesday. So the Boston Celtics have a travel day tomorrow, and then Wednesday they'll be playing down in Miami. Let me see if I feel like getting up and driving the 3 hours down in Miami to watch that game in person. I can guarantee that half of the fans there will be wearing green, and three quarters will be cheering every time Kyrie Irving scores, if he plays. Then there's the game at the Pacers, and a game back at home this coming Sunday versus Orlando, so we get to hear the Mo Bamba theme 100 times on that post-game show we're on. And then we close the Boston Celtics close out the season against the completely depleted trash, garbage, dumpster fire Washington Wizards. So at Miami, at Indiana, versus Orlando, at Washington. Three road games, one home game, Sam Sheehan. I think it's obvious that, I mean, we could say that all these games are must-win games, but I think it's obvious that that Pacers game coming up this coming Friday, is the absolute must-win of must-winningest games, because mm-hmm. that would give the Boston Celtics or the Indiana Pacers a full one-game advantage on top of what they already have, which is currently no advantage. They're both tied other than the tiebreaker. Would give either team a full one-game advantage in the standings with only two games left on each of their schedules. So what do you think about these four games coming up? Obviously, the Indiana game is going to be a tough one. I think the Miami game at Miami, I don't think being in Miami is going to be any more challenging. Miami is a kind of a garbage team on the road. I was looking at the standings, and the Miami Heat are 18-21 at home and 20-18 on the road. So they're actually a worse team at home than they are on the road. And, you know, regardless of what's on the line for the Miami Heat, whether they may get that eighth seed, they're fighting for that eighth seed. Dwayne Powell, LeBron, by retiring without hitting the playoffs, the Heat are going to want to play for something. But that crowd, you know, part of my language, doesn't mean mierda, because they don't show up. And when they do, they come in, you know, they're pretty much still filing in at halftime. And then they're leaving, at the end of the third quarter. So everybody pays, you know, their $25, $30, $50, whatever tickets to watch basically a quarter and a half of basketball before leaving. And half the time, unless the team is absolutely running stuff the way the big three Miami Heat did, the fans, it's a give or take whether the fans are going to be wearing the opponent's colors, cheering the opponent's team or the opponent's stars. But will it matter, do you think, that the Boston Celtics won't have their home crowd to back them up, Sam, when they go on the road? Do you think that's going to matter? Because the Celtics aren't necessarily a great road team either.
Yeah, I mean, they're not a good road team. I think the Heat do have – you know, more to play for. And I think that, you know, the Celtics are going to be it does kind of reek of trap game. You know, they're coming off a win tonight. They're going to Miami. I don't know. There might be some flu-like symptoms for some players with the game in Miami, if you catch my drift. So you know, that kind of seems, and, you know, the players are going to be kind of looking ahead to that, as you alluded to, that monstrous Pacers game that is kind of a be-all, end-all, you know, for the season. You know, you can kind of wipe away anything that happens in Miami by winning that Pacers game. So, you know, the Celtics might not necessarily have urgency. I wouldn't be totally surprised if they lost this game tomorrow, especially with kind of how under the gun you know, the Heat are. You know, they are kind of fighting for their playoff lives. And if they don't make the playoffs, it is a barren and empty coverage for the Heat for a long time. I mean, they've got a first-round pick here going out pretty soon. They're capped out. It's going to be a long time. It's going to be at least a couple years before the Heat are back to relevance. So they really need to make the playoffs. Their, you know, franchise is really going to be struggling for it. So I could see it kind of going either way. You know, I think the Heat have way more incentive to win that game, and I think the Celtics have a lot of incentive to not be at their best, I shall politely say, when they're there in Miami. So, but I do expect them to come out ready to go for that Pacers game. And the Celtics have kind of risen up for a lot of big games this year. That is one thing the Celtics have done, is they have actually – played pretty well against the best teams a lot of the time, at least the Eastern Conference ones. You know, they not a lot of no-shows against Eastern Conference teams this year. So,
no, definitely not.
You know,
they have wins against the Bucks, domination against the Sixers. I don't even consider that last game a legitimate loss, given all the circumstances that occurred in that game, and the free throw discrepancy and all that other stuff. I'm not going to harp on it. They won the game. It's a W in their column. But I have no fear as a Boston Celtics fan of the Philadelphia 76ers. And I think that confidence, because most of the Celtics' problems this year are really psychological, because it's not about athletic talent for this or basketball ability for anybody on this team. It's really psychological. And I think the one team they have a clear, definitive psychological advantage over is the Philadelphia 76ers.
I agree.
It took the Philadelphia 76ers, a depleted Celtics team, an ejected Marcus Smart, Aaron Baines going down with a grade 2 sprain and then coming back bionic man a couple of games later. But, you know, it took all of those things for the Philadelphia 76ers to squeak out that win against the Celtics. But that's the one team. And I, like you said, it may not happen. That matchup may not occur in the playoffs the way the teams are seeded at this moment. But that's the one team that I think the Boston Celtics would like to play. I think it's interesting, though, speaking of these games coming up, and I agree with you, the Boston Celtics may well decide to rest against Miami, because the Indiana Pacers have an equally challenging game, I would say, against the Detroit Pistons in Detroit. It's interesting how both of the teams, the Indiana Pacers and the Boston Celtics, have home and aways against playoff teams or borderline playoff teams. The Pacers beating Detroit today, and the Celtics beating Miami today, but then Indiana now going to Detroit and the Celtics now going to Miami to play at Miami. The challenge is going to be the remaining games. It just comes down to the Indiana game. I mean, I can see exactly what you said. There'll be maybe some flu-like symptoms. There'll be some, I stayed out on South Beach until, you know, 5 a.m. and, you know, came home totally wasted and I'm throwing up throughout the entire game so much that I can't even watch it. Or maybe, you know, the side effects from an STD shot. Who knows? Because anything can happen down in Miami. But I can agree with that. I can see that happening, and I think that Brad Stevens and the Celtics team may gamble that game on the supposition that the Pacers may possibly have an equally difficult time against Detroit. And then closing out the season, the Boston Celtics host Orlando. I really don't want to see another embarrassing loss to Orlando. I really don't want to see that happen. I think that would be a bad thing for the Celtics. I think even if they secure the fourth seed, and momentum apparently means nothing for this team. They don't know what it means. It doesn't really have any bearing on them, apparently, because they just don't care, or they apparently think that, you know, whatever they're doing at this moment in time is fairly inconsequential, even to the point of not really being all that concerned, because if they were so concerned about securing that four seed, there wouldn't be rest games here in the last, you know, 10 games of the season. They wouldn't be resting. So I think the Boston Celtics are taking, they want the four seed. It would absolutely be helpful. I think it would be wise for them to have that so that they could have, you know, a better chance of securing that series, because I don't think if the Pacers are the home team, I don't see the Boston Celtics beating them twice in Indiana those first two games. But I can see them beating Indiana twice in Boston if they have the home court advantage. And I think getting that and taking the wind out of Miami and any type of momentum away from Indiana early in that playoff series is going to be key. But I don't think at the end of the day that the Boston Celtics, it doesn't look like they're really preparing themselves to insist upon that fourth seed. I think they know who their matchup is going to be. They're preparing themselves mentally for playing the Pacers, and they'd like to have home court advantage, but if they don't get it and they get the fifth seed, it's pretty much, you know what I mean, like, the, you know, I wanted, you know, Coke, but I got Pepsi. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And by Coke, I mean the type I put up my nose. I'm joking.
This is the Miami edition,
man. I got 2 kilos.
This is Miami Vice. We've gone all over.
Definitely all over the place, man. It's spilt all over my table. That's why I'm a little bit hyper. I put away the hallucinogens for tonight, and it's just a table with a mountain of snow, and I'm sitting here like Tony Montana. I got my nose just all powdered up, you know, like I just, you know, came back from the ladies' room, and this has just been a hype show altogether. I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, the combination of the Miami snowflakes and Sam Sheen's mustache. It's like I'm just psyched, man. Tonight is psyched, even with the kind of give or take performance by the Celtics, the 105 to 100, or was it 110-105 Boston Celtics win? I forgot already because it was so unimpressive that I just didn't even put to memory what the score was. What was it? Well,
yeah,
now my computer, my thing.
Yeah.
110-105. So, Sam, I'm going to leave the floor to you before I do the final monologue or whatever. Anything else about this game, about the future, about the playoffs, about the Celtics season in general? Any deep thoughts, any, you know, insight you'd like to bless our listeners with, those that have stayed tuned in or are continuing to listen to the stream tomorrow as they drive to work or as they get ready to go to work, their drive time listening? Any other words about the Boston Celtics or anything in general, life?
Yeah.
You know, the reflections.
Yeah, I think that this is, you know, I'm still not seeing it for this team. That said, I don't think we should confuse that with this team can't do it. They can, but Brad Stevens has got to be ready to throw the switch that he has not thrown yet. And he has got to tighten up these rotations, and he's got to very seriously consider benching Marcus Morris. I know everyone wants to bench Terry Rozier, and I know, you know, I get why Terry has also been also extremely bad, but Terry Rozier is one of the only, you know, credible guards that the Celtics have versus Marcus Morris, who's in direct competition with, you know, the Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, you name it, Marcus Smart, even to some extent, for all those other wing winners. And I know someone brought up earlier on the show today that Aaron Baines has incredible on-off numbers. I think a large part of Aaron Baines having incredible on-off numbers is that he's primarily playing for Marcus Morris as the second big, and he's the one he's rotating off of the floor with. So, yeah, the defense is going to get better when Marcus Morris is exiting the floor, in addition to Aaron Baines being on the floor. All right, rant over. Brad Stevens, be ready to do what you have to do. Otherwise, this is going to be a short trip for the Celtics in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, definitely. And I think expectations have to be modified for this team. Coming into the season, obviously, everybody wanted to crown the Boston Celtics as the Eastern Conference champions already coming into the season, but things changed. I think Giannis is basically a lock for that MVP. I don't think they want to give back-to-back MVPs to James Harden. James Harden did win it last year, correct? He was the MVP last year. I don't think they want to give it, especially given the fact that the Milwaukee Bucks are basically the best team in basketball this season. Giannis is going to be the MVP. And as I said last season over, as I said, this season, about last season, and especially the Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals last season, and as has been mentioned on this show by pretty much everybody, the team with the biggest star is the team that's going to get the benefit of a lot of the calls, is going to get a lot of the benefit of momentum-making plays, because that's what the MVP-caliber, all-world-caliber players, and not that Kyrie Irving isn't, but the biggest difference to me between Kyrie Irving, and I believe it was you, Sam, that brought up, you know, which teams have the best player. And I would say that I would take Kyrie maybe over Embiid, but at the same time, I think having a dominant big man is, if you look at championships of the past, I think having a dominant big man with solid wings is a better combination than having your best player being a point guard. And I know Steph Curry is kind of like, you know, the guy that maybe proves that wrong, but look at the team that's around him and look at the way Steph Curry plays. He's kind of a shooting point. You know what I mean? He's a combo guard. He's not really a true point guard. And they have all that other talent around them, even before Kevin Durant got there. So the difference between Kyrie and Giannis is that Giannis will bang on you through contact. Kyrie will, you know, put the handles on you, put you on skates, and then do some jelly to avoid the contact, to go around the contact and try to put the ball in, which means that Kyrie Irving doesn't get to the free throw line as much as Giannis Antetokounmpo does. And in situations like the playoffs, when the game slows down, when it turns into a half-court game, and it comes down to who's going to be the guy that's going to, you know, attack the basket, and which team is going to get to the free throw line, I think the Milwaukee Bucks, and of course, the Bucks have three-point shooting just like the Celtics do. I think it's going to come down to some of that, you know, that attacking the basket and getting to the free throw line, and I think that's where you're going to see the biggest difference between Giannis Antetokounmpo, a player like Giannis, and a player like Kyrie Irving. But with that said, we encourage everybody to tune in to the betonline.ag Boston Celtics postgame show this Wednesday, April 3rd at 10 o'clock for the postgame after the Celtics at Miami game. Don't worry, everybody. I will not be hosting, so you can live without my Scarface Tony Montana quotes and snippets. So with that said,
you don't have the guts to be what you want to be. Me, I always tell the truth, even when I lie. So say goodnight to the bad guy.
Suavemente, bésame. Que quiero sentir tus labios besándome otra vez. Suavemente, bésame. Que quiero sentir tus labios besándome otra vez.
Suave.
Bésame, bésame. Cuando tú me
All I have in this world is my balls and my word, and I don't break them for no one. Do you understand?
Today's episode is powered by BetOnline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/win and use the promo code CLNS50 to receive 50% cash back on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/win and use the promo code CLNS50 to receive 50% cash back on your first deposit.
When it's time to make a hire for your small business, of course you want to find the best person for that job. Well, the odds are that person is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to get matched with quality candidates who make the most sense for your role. People come to LinkedIn every day to learn and advance their careers, so LinkedIn understands what they're interested in and what they're looking for, which means when you use LinkedIn Jobs to hire someone, your matches are based on so much more than a resume. LinkedIn goes further. They include skills and background, interests, activities, and passions. This way, you'll get the most relevant and qualified candidate early on in the process, and you can spend more time on candidates you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in developing quality hires. So listen up. Post a job today at linkedin.com/garden and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/garden. Terms and conditions apply.